everybody loves a night out, whether it's seeing your favorite band in person or maybe being there in the crowd to cheer on your favorite team. Well, with the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program, you can go to the concert or show of your choice and earn credit towards your next live event. Vivid Seats is the top source for tickets for all the live events you want to go to. You can sort by price or look for seats in the section and row of your choice, all in the Vivid Seats app. To make things even better, Vivid Seats now has a loyalty program that allows fans to earn credit back. All you need to do is use the Vivid Seats app to purchase tickets and start earning today. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Fans are automatically enrolled in the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program. Every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. From the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater shows and more, Vivid Seats has it all. Download the app and join the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program today. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let the Vivid Seats app help you get to your favorite live event. Enter promo code ESPN25 for 10% off your next order.
World Series Game 3 as the Astros make a complete mess of everything. Warriors grand opening, grand closing in San Francisco. And we're going to need a full mute for Ibra there. But check out Magic here. He's like, yeah, what do you want from me? Our national panel, let's go around the horn.
Not all MENA regions are made the same, Tony.
I'm going to leave that there for you. A front office implosion for the Houston Astros. While they're down 0-2, and your two Cy Youngs just lost, and you're hitting 176 with runners in scoring position, and you're on the road in Washington, who hasn't lost in 8 games and gets the big boost from the Chad Cordero first pitch tonight. Let's put the front office to the side for a second. We'll address that in full momentarily. Tonight, and this weekend in Washington, Clinton, do you trust the baseball-playing Astros? Do you trust Greinke versus Sanchez? Do you trust the bullpen tomorrow against Corbin? Or are the Nats not just the better team right now, but the better team?
I think the Nats are the better team right now and the better team in general. Once they got the left side of their infield back in terms of Trey Turner and Rendon, they became the team that everybody thought they were going to be in the beginning of the season. Now look, the problem with the Astros is that they're only getting their runs via home run. They're not knocking in anything when the runners are in scoring position. They're batting less than 200. However, the Anibal Sanchez situation is difficult. He dazzled in St. Louis, but you can't expect to have a no-hit scenario going through that far anymore. And you got to go to Tanner Rainey if that gets dicey because of the Corbin situation. Pitching-wise, I think Greinke is going to be good. However, the Nats are hitting the ball incredibly. So overall, I think it's going to even out. And being at home, I think the Nats get this.
Woody Page?
Yes, being at home, Clinton, is going to be the biggest factor, I think. This is a Washington monumental game. I mean, really, when you think about history, oh, that was good there, Tony, that you caught that you have a situation, I think, where you talk about Greinke, you expect a good game, based on what during the postseason? What has Greinke shown us? I mean, really, throughout the, so I'm not putting any faith in him. Sanchez hasn't pitched in a while, but he throws a lot of junk up there that I think that will be difficult for the Astros to hit. They're much more of a fastball hitting, as you said, home run. They'll take care of mistakes and they'll take care of fastballs, but I think he's going to be in a position where he's going to pitch well. That's going to be the difference in the game. When, since June 1st, and you brought this up, the Nationals have been a better team than the Astros for 5 months now.
So,
you know, I think the Nats are the better team over the last month, and that's all that really matters. They've won 18 of their last 20. The Astros struggled to hit against Tampa Bay. They struggled with men on in scoring position throughout the playoffs. Those things they can fix a little. Here's one they can't fix that hasn't been talked about that much. Wade Miley was their third best starter most of the year, and he would be pitching some of these games. He was 13-4 at the end of August. He had such a terrible September, he's not even on the World Series roster. Yeah. That elevated Greinke. That created the need for these bullpen games, which they'll have tomorrow night, I would assume. And that really diminished the Astros in a big way.
Emily Kaplan.
I'm concerned about Zach Greinke. This is the guy that gave up 6 runs to the pretty average Tampa Bay Rays offense and has not looked good since. He's actually been quite pedestrian. But it doesn't matter who's on the mound for the Astros. I'm more concerned about their bats that have gone incredibly cold. They are 8-63. With runners in scoring position since ALCS. That's not great. The Astros have the better roster, but they have not been the better team. And we've seen so many times in baseball history, the hotter team wins out.
Clinton, anything you want to add to that?
Yeah, I mean, look, in Houston, they got the game they weren't supposed to get, the Nationals, that is, in Game 1. Game 2 was a little bit more expected, considering it was Strasburg. I mean, they are really behind the eight ball here, the Strohs are. This is not some
yes,
joke.
Yeah, teams that go down 0-2 and go on the road. I mean, the history there is, I think it was the Yankees in 96, I think it was the Mets in 86, the last two. You have to go back 30 years to have two teams have come back. Tim, do you want a last word after the horn?
You know, I just think the one thing that might still be hanging over Washington a little bit, we all know about their bullpen issues, which haven't been a factor in the first two games. It came close in Game 1. Game 2 was such a blowout that they were able to do pretty much what they wanted. I think they'll need a bullpen, a good bullpen tonight and tomorrow night to really take control.
This is one of those weird situations. We got a game tonight, Game 3, which I think some of you would call a must-win, even though it's not an elimination game for the Astros. But then the game comes back tomorrow, Saturday, and then there's another game Sunday, Game 5 if needed. By the time we come back Monday, Clinton Yates, are we talking about the World Series champion Washington Nationals?
I can't believe I'm saying this aloud, but I absolutely believe so. Look, Davey Martinez has pressed all the buttons when he was doubted all season. He's done everything right in terms of getting Max into the eighth last series and in terms of putting guys like Howard Joseph Kendrick, DHing him. He's done everything right, which is kind of unbelievable. Big shout.
And everyone else gets one word or fewer. Kaplan, yes or no on the World Series Nationals on Monday?
Yes, and Juan Soto has a 21st birthday home run.
That today. Wasn't exactly one word, but I'll allow it. Kalisha?
Baseball left to be played.
Thank you, Paige.
Plasky, question mark.
It's Clinton. Over? Okay, is that what you're saying? You're trying to call Clinton Yates, Bill Plasky. Well, we'll get to all that on Monday. That's the baseball-playing Astros. The non-baseball-playing decision-making Astros, and whether you trust them now, whether baseball should trust them in their decision-making. Jeff Luhnow's press conference yesterday, one we've never seen before, firing an assistant GM in the middle of a World Series.
It's devastating. It's not something I wish on anybody in this room. Just like I don't wish any of you to be standing up here having to answer these questions either.
In addition to all those devastating moments was this too.
Jeff, have you personally reached out to apologize to any of the women who were directly impacted by this?
I have not. I have been traveling up here. I had to have a pretty tough conversation this morning with someone that's worked with me for a long time. So I will as soon as I can.
As reporter Hazel May pointed out, Sports Illustrated's Stephanie Abstein was in the room at that moment. Tim, did firing Brandon Taubman and having that press conference answer all your questions and allow the Astros and baseball to move on from this?
No, it answered one of the big ones at the start, getting rid of Taubman. I mean, as far as he's been traveling, I mean, they have a rotary phone on their plane. Is that really a good excuse for not being able to communicate with people at this point? If you look at it now, what Taubman did and said in an emotional outburst after the game, as horrible as that was, that's not as bad as the Astros' initial response, which was to completely discredit Sports Illustrated and talk about a fabrication. And then hours later, say, we hadn't talked to everybody at that time, and now we have, and now we're offering this pretty lame apology. So there's other people still involved in, whether you call it a cover-up or just that terrible initial response, that I think need to be at least accounted for and named.
Emily Kaplan, your view of it?
I'm friends with Stephanie Abstein. I was colleagues with Steph at Sports Illustrated. I can say there are a few people who work harder and more diligently than her. She deserves the professional courtesy back. As Tim said, plenty of time to make a 5-minute home phone call that won't derail your day. They were stuck in traffic on the way here. But look, they thought they were getting ahead of MLB's investigation by firing Taubman. MLB did their investigation on Tuesday and Wednesday and interviewing people. I don't think it should be over there. I think that MLB should continue this on because there's a lot of people who should answer to this embarrassment and disappointment.
Quinn Yates?
Yeah, I got to tell you, in Houston, there was a definite pall over the proceedings. It was awkward. People were talking about this. You're coming to the World Series. It certainly affected the vibe in that building. But overall, I'm going to the comments. It was a targeted verbal attack. I don't even need to get to how the Astros have completely botched this. The fact that he felt empowered enough to even make that comment to begin with, that's the scary part. And that's what I'm still thinking to myself. What's going on in that franchise, and how do you fix that? It goes far beyond firing one human.
And Woody Page.
It's outrageous. This can't be the conclusion to it. There have got to be more suspensions, even firings. And I'm going to mention a name here. Jim Crane. Where have you been? He's the owner of the franchise. Have we heard any comment, any response, any action whatsoever taken beyond firing the guy that did it? But what about the other people? You suspend the general manager, the owner comes out, issues an apology, and I think Major League Baseball continues to investigate. Remember a few years ago when the Astros were all over the Cardinals about getting into their filing system, into their computer, and now they're on the other end, and this is more, I think this is more outrageous than what happened then, and they're acting arrogant. They're acting like, oh, beginning, they were saying, oh, Sports Illustrated got it wrong. This shouldn't be the end of
Tim,
it.
Tim, something you want to add here?
Until it's settled.
Yeah, I mean, I just think there are consequences sometimes to success, and when you hire some really, really smart people, and the team goes from 100 losses to 100 wins, all of a sudden they're smarter than every organization in sports, and they start to behave that way and carry themselves that way, and they'll obstruct a Detroit reporter from going to the clubhouse because Verlander doesn't like him, and they behave like they really invented baseball, and the Astros need to figure out that they
Emily?
Didn't.
Yeah, the one thing they haven't apologized for is the reaction, the way they acted so emotionally to discredit and create a smear campaign against this reporter. And I'm also disappointed by the fact that for 3 days, the only person of leadership who was answering to this was A.J. Hinch, the manager, who had nothing to do with it. That's
well,
not
that's
fair.
The whole point, right? You put other people in the franchise. And I wonder, does any of this filter down to the players as well? This is happening during the World Series, and that's what makes this just so unprecedented. Clinton, you want a last word here?
Yeah, I was just going to say the unfortunate part is that because of all this passing the buck and the shell game, a lot of people don't actually believe this is going to change a whole lot. And that's sort of the larger problem with what's going on with Major
League Baseball. So you all think baseball needs to continue to look into this? And what do you said, maybe fines and suspensions? Baseball, I mean, this is during the World Series. Baseball has this Astros issue. With the Angels, there's an investigation with the DEA of the death of a player and with the opioid crisis in America and the ratings for this World Series down as well right now. Baseball's keeping an eye on all of it for sure. At some point, you need to hear from them. Buy or sell right now after this break. Right now after this break. Sure. We'll do buy or sell.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, brought to you by Chase. Coming to you from the Seaport District at Pier 17.
Clippers 141, Warriors 122, blown out in your grand opening.
I'm not a moral victory type of guy. I'm not leaving this game looking for something to build off on. We sucked.
Sucked out there tonight.
Which is going to happen again. I mean, this is not, not a one-off. This is the reality.
This is the reality, he says. Woody Page, buy or sell that reality.
Buying his reality check, he realizes that's the most points that Steve Kerr's ever given up as a coach. Playoffs, regular season, to see that, the opening 14-0, I'm watching and I'm going, what in the world has happened to the Warriors? They've gone away. It's like Joe DiMaggio in that area. Where have you gone, Joe DiMaggio? They lost four of their key players. You saw all those kids on the floor last night, and they just aren't together. And they don't have any scoring from the bench whatsoever.
Woody, they could have a 40-year veteran in the NBA. They'd still be a kid to you, though. Wouldn't that be the case? Galashaw, how about you?
90% of coaches would say, oh, it's one game. The Clippers are a great team. We'll be fine. I buy Steve Kerr's honesty, saying this is reality. And he knows the drop-off after Curry and Draymond, and they don't even really know what D'Angelo Russell will be for that team. The drop-off after those three is huge. They used to be a team when they were great. Beyond the Big Four, they had a terrific bench. They have no bench, and the Clippers showed that last
Emily,
year.
The reality for the Warriors now is what?
Well, look, Steve Kerr has been around great teams. He's coached great teams. He knows this isn't it. There are 9 players on this roster born 1996 or later.
Kids.
I was not born in 1996.
Kids. They have kids.
Young.
You're right about
listen.
It. Woody was right, too. Good.
I'm young. Imagine having 9 Emily Kaplans in
your rotation.
Do you
believe this team will miss the playoffs now?
No, listen to me. Obviously, it's great to have 9 Emily Kaplans in your rotation. We would all be awesome. But right now, we're young and we're learning and we need to grow.
Okay, Clinton Yates, your reality check.
Key players, Woody, they lost a 2-time NBA Finals MVP and Klay's not playing. They lost a little bit more than key players. Look, they don't have some inalienable right to excellence just because they once dazzled us across the league. It happens. Teams get old. Things change. This is what the Warriors are.
Back to Kaplan. That wasn't just speaking in the first person. That was 9 first persons for Emily Kaplan there. Quiet. shut down Oracle, last rites, and then he baptizes Chase. Are the Clippers who you thought they would be, Clinton?
Absolutely. I think the Clippers are going to have a better regular season record than the Lakers, and I think that team
Tim Kalashaw?
Clippers are the best team in the league, and they don't even have Paul George yet. They're going to be
outside. We move on. Bucks 117, Rockets 111. How Giannis triple-doubled and fouled out with 5 minutes left, and Milwaukee was still okay, and how Harden and Westbrook got into a little bit of a situation in the first quarter, not to overdo everything here. And then, really, in the fourth quarter, couldn't put it together when Giannis was out of the game. Tim, what do you buy? What do you sell?
I'm buying that little conversation is going to be carried on throughout the season. I'm buying Mike D'Antoni has his hands full. It's an odd mix. Mm-hmm. They're two great players. They both need the ball in their hands. And Westbrook is fairly useless when he doesn't have it in his hands because he can't shoot threes. So it's going to be a challenge to make.
But that conversation Westbrook and Harden have, that's had every night by teammates in the NBA, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they're going to have this giant rift now, but they're going to have trouble, you know, getting where they want to be on the court today.
Emily, your takeaway from last night?
Yeah, I'm selling that's a big deal. It would be one thing if these are two superstars that are thrust into an arranged marriage, but they've played together in the NBA before. They've been friends since they were 10. And in fact, they predicted that this was going to be a slow start. In fact, I read the GQ article, the interview that James Harden did that published last month, and he literally said, it's not necessarily always going to be easy for us. We hope to find rhythm at the end of the year. We're going to have ups and downs.
I'm buying this as an issue for sure. We knew this blend was going to be difficult off the rip. Westbrook is the kind of player that doesn't necessarily mesh well with other guys, and it's obvious. This was going to be a concern, and it is, because clearly, because what happened.
Woodrow.
The big problem may not be when they're playing together, it's when they're not playing together. They were both plus when they were on the court at the same time, and minus when one of them was on the court. And when you have Harden starting the season where he goes 46 and 48 minutes without scoring a point, I'm going to make a bold prediction here. D'Antoni's not going to make it through this season. They're going to get rid of him.
Wait, you lost me there. What is 46 of 48 minutes goes by when he doesn't score a point? You lost me there.
He didn't score up until 2 minutes of the first half. He didn't score a point from the field in the second half. That's 46.
From the field. There we go. We'll move on. Buy or sell three, Carson Wentz. It's concerning when Wentz says it's concerning that anonymous sources in the Eagles locker room are talking. Is he saying it's concerning that they're talking about him, or it's just concerning that they're talking? Eagles Bills Sunday, Emlyn. What do you buy? What do you sell from this? Emily?
I'm selling the fact that Carson Wentz is the problem here. He's not the one that's injured. He's not the one that's dropping passes. He's not the one playing cornerback. But I am buying that there's an issue. This is a couple times now that this has come up. Strong locker rooms don't air their dirty laundry in public.
Yates?
I'm selling anything close to a blame the media type of excuse for the fact that you can't complete any passes to your receivers. I mean, come on, dude. People are talking because the product is a problem. Get better on the field and don't worry about what people have to say.
Yes, well, the problem there is the defense. It's not the offense. You can talk about Wentz all you want to, but you shouldn't be talking about it out beyond the walls of the locker room. That's when you start getting into trouble because people are pointing and looking.
So you're with Carson Wentz here, all right. Kalashaw, how about you?
I'm buying that the entire team is a mess. They just made a team that lost its last game to the Jets look like a powerhouse Sunday night in a 37-10 loss. Wentz has not played well. He has regressed. But I think not having DeSean Jackson has hurt him a lot.
Anyone have a Philadelphia win this week against Buffalo? Can they right the ship this week against Buffalo? That's a no for Kalashaw.
No.
That's four no's.
Buffalo's good.
Okay. Kaplan, I noticed you didn't even make a pick there, but that, I mean, you see where you are in the scoreboard. You don't want to tip it over either way. We'll let it slide for now. We got one Woody Page and nine Emily Kaplans in showdown. Next.
Oh, tough crowd.
How many...
There's crispy, and then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
Emily Kaplan, Woody Page, good luck in showdown. The DeAndre Ayton suspension, 25 games, positive test that showed a diuretic. This is right after the Suns opened the season with a 29-point win over Sacramento. Who looks worst in all this? Ayton, the Suns, or the NBA, Woody?
Well, Aiden looks very bad, but it's the NBA because you have your number one draft choice overall from last year. On the first weekend, he's being suspended because of a drug issue and a testing operation here that will be expedited. It's a bad look for the NBA.
The Suns look bad because they can't have nice things. Just when it looks like they're about to turn the corner with Monty Williams, you got three players with double-doubles, you have this less than 24 hours later.
Yeah. We talked about all the problems baseball's having finishing their season. The NBA, when you go to China, when you have no Zion, when you have this now. I'll give the points for not having nice things to Emily Kaplan. We'll move on. Showdown 2. Panthers at 49ers. Emily, what's on the line this weekend? Carolina, San Francisco.
A lot's on the line for the Panthers. If they win this game, this is the difference between them competing in the NFC South or chasing for the rest of their season for the wild card.
It's all about the two quarterbacks. You got one for San Francisco that's got almost as many interceptions as he does touchdown passes. We got to see Garoppolo and Allen. Can he keep a job? If they play it closely, he'll continue. If not, we'll see Cam next.
Right. Allen's undefeated as a starter this season. And this is the win. This is the type of win that would really bolster his case if he wants to keep the job. We'll give the point to Woody. Showdown 3 now for the whole game. SMU 8-0 and ranked and going with a turnover bottle service on their sidelines now. Woody, what do you think has more staying power? The team or the bottle service?
Bottle service all year long in the pros and in colleges. We're seeing guys on defense go down and take team selfie photos. I want to see something creative. This is different. And that confetti, just be careful because it could go in your throat.
Obviously, it's the bottle service. Look, SMU has been good. SMU has been bad. But if I know anything about the city of Dallas, that city appreciates bottle service more than anyone else. And the only one who appreciates it more is maybe Miami, and they've one-upped them here.
You guys agree, so I'm going to ask right now for the tiebreaker. Emily, should you win, what would you do in FaceTime?
I'd obviously talk about hockey.
And Woody Page, how about you?
I would give Emily my time.
Seriously? Oh, wow. I mean, okay, well, that's all I need to hear. Emily Kaplan, 30 seconds of FaceTime.
Well, we didn't talk about hockey on the show, so here I am. Did you guys know that the first two teams, the teams in first place in the NHL right now, are the Buffalo Sabres and Edmonton Oilers? Can you fathom a world where the Bills and Sabres are both relevant at the same time? Meanwhile, the Oilers are still the Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl show, but at least they have a third sidekick now in James Neal. And if you guys haven't done it, Google Connor McDavid's goal from Thursday night. He made Nick Jensen of the Capitals look like he saw a ghost from Sam Darnold. It was absolutely absurd.
All right, Emily Kaplan gets the win. You know, Woody, was that what you wanted out of Emily's FaceTime?
That's FaceTime right there.
My strategy backfired.
Yes, your strategy backfired. Get out of here. We're on a 71 and a half hour break.
Charlie Pierce, I'm coming to talk.